Hey guys, this is Christians in the Gritty. Life is hard.
And man, we've lived it.
We sure have. We are just two sisters doing our best to please God through it all.
And having fun doing it.
Woo!
So sometimes I feel like we put things in front of God. And some things that are really good. Like our kids, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, speaking of, I am babysitting Dominic today while we podcast. So if you hear a cute little voice, that's who it is.
Hopefully no cries or,
you know,
but that's okay.
Get through smoothly. We've been praying about it.
But, yeah, idols. Like, there's so many things that get in the way of Christ. Like, for me.
Yeah, like anything that is stopping you from putting him first is an idol. Do we realize that?
Ugh. And you know what? Something that just came to me and I feel like really ashamed to say is like, well, because it's something I need to work on is that, yes, I want to put God first and I always say that and I'll even say it to my kids, right? But I'm still putting my kids before my spouse, right? And so I have less of a problem of putting God before my spouse, but more of a problem putting my kids before God.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. And it's hard as a mom, I think. I just feel like when you, when you're a mom and you're just automatically, naturally nurturing, even if you don't have your kids biologically, because that's a whole nother thing where you carry them or whatever. But even beside that, when you are made to nurture another human being, it is very hard to not put them first. You're listening to Christians in the Gritty. This is Melissa.
And Christina. I mean, I feel like though husbands and wives, you need to be working together with the kids. So if we're working together and we're also each putting Christ first, then we're always going to put our kids third.
Yeah.
But we don't seem to work together with our kids and raising them up in the way that we should.
It's a struggle. And and we've talked about that a lot in the past, like why it's such a struggle. Because we didn't, one of the reasons, and it's not the only reason, because people that are married since high school still have struggles. But I think one of the struggles is that both you and I have parented by ourselves. Even when I was married before, he didn't parent. And, or you are with someone who parented different than your ex-husband, or these aren't their kids. It adds another layer of struggle.
And also that we each grew up differently.
Yes, exactly. So even when you do marry, like, the person from high school and you never dated anyone else, you're still going to see those struggles because you grew up different. And you're different people. And you think of things differently.
And like you said, like, women are more nurturing, right? So, of course, we might have, I mean, stereotypically anyway, more sympathy for our kids in different situations, I think, than our husbands would.
Yeah. So, idols, though. If we even talk about anything. So, like we were talking about kids. So, if we go to their ball games instead of going to things, sometimes that's okay. I'm not trying to tell you you have to go to everything for God and miss out on the ball. Because that's super important to be there and support your kids and make them feel like they're what they are important and they're loved. And I recently struggled with that where I have a senior, and this is going to be her last year to do sports. This is her very last sport. I'm going to miss watching her. And normally I wouldn't even always go to the very far away games because my other daughter was supposed to have a game the same day. And it's supposed to be where I was struggling whether I was supposed to go to this benefit that some people from our church is going to. It's a crisis pregnancy center benefit, and which is something I feel very pulled to. So, and I'm like, well, maybe I'll just miss this one this year. And I'm like, I don't know. And I kept not wanting to tell them no. Well, then one of the ladies on mission board messaged me and said she cannot go now. And she also works there. And so I'm like, okay, am I supposed to go?
Everything's pointing to yes.
Yeah. And I'm like, I don't know. And she's like, well, don't feel like you have to. And I was thinking, maybe I'm supposed to. So I prayed about it. And I'm looking in the Bible, because we talked about that before. Like, I like to look in the Bible for confirmations. And I'm really, like, pushing to find the answer. And as soon as I went, ah, forget it, I'm going to listen to the book that Christina is leading the Bible study on. Another Lisa
Turkhurst.
Turkhurst. I pronounce her name wrong every time, so I always ask her to do it. Lisa Turkhurst.
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 And the very first words when I pushed play, and I forgot that she was even talking about this the last time I listened, because I waited for everybody to catch up. So I was ahead of everyone. So it'd been a little bit since I listened to the book. Mm-hmm. So the very first few words, there might've been one word or a half a word before it said crisis pregnancy center. And I immediately said, well, guess I'm going to the benefit. Like, as soon as I gave up looking for the answer, God is like, here it is.
Yeah.
How many times does he do that?
Yeah. And no, and I love the way that you do the confirmations. I struggle with it. I think God speaks to us all in different ways.
Yeah. Yes.
And he seems to speak with you a lot through that with the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you're also praying.
Yeah.
And there's a huge thing there. But like how you said you were struggling, that's not how he wanted to give you the answer that time.
Yeah. Right? And I'm like, I'm not finding the answer anywhere.
That's how I feel almost every time I look for confirmation in the Bible.
Really?
Yes.
Almost. Well, I mean, what I'll do a lot of times is I'll look at, like, or I'll flip through. If I'm using my phone, I will look at the names, and one will just pop out of the Bible, like books of the Bible. So mm-hmm. I'll go through, and then I'll look at the numbers, and I'll keep looking. And you know what's funny? This time, it was like nothing was super popping out, so I just went back to what maybe it was what I was already listening to,
mm-hmm.
but it wasn't. But it was something I needed to hear anyways, of course. And so, but as soon as I was like, I'm not finding this, and God was like, okay, here's your answer.
Yeah. And I think that's it for me is I'm trying to force it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why it doesn't work for me. I need to listen to God more.
Yeah.
Is what it is.
And I get them a lot of confirmations through other people.
Yeah.
Too.
Yeah.
Because I'll be specifically asking God questions. And it's very frustrating. Mm-hmm. I love those moments when it's like so black and white, like crisis pregnancy center. Like,
yeah, that's your answer.
There's, oh, I guess I'm going to that. You know what I mean? Yeah. But when it's more vague and stuff and it's not your time to know.
Yeah.
It's like,
I feel like for me, like I feel like it's a confirmation when I get the peace.
There was so much peace, Christina. Mm-hmm. I had been so stressed out the day before to the point where my breath felt like fire.
Yeah.
Oh, here he comes.
Hey, buddy.
And my breath felt like so much fire. And I was so stressed out. It was almost hard to breathe. And that stress continued through the next day a little. And as soon as I messaged a lady that I was talking about, I felt this peace that had nothing to do, like it took away stress from some stuff that had nothing to do with this question that I found the answer to. But I feel like it's because when we're walking in God's will, that's where your peace is.
Yeah.
Whether it has to do with what you're stressed about or not.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. I would agree.
There's Dom.
I really like the touch points in Life Bible. Okay. Like, I'm glad that you looked into them more, because I didn't at first. I'm like, especially because for youth group, we use YouVersion.
Yeah.
And I do like the plans, the way they're set up better on YouVersion.
Okay.
But in Life Bible, like, it encouraged me more to look into it deeper
mm-hmm.
since you did. And the touch points in there are just
They are awesome. I'm guessing that means you have a verse.
No, I don't.
Okay.
But I'm going to look.
Okay. Okay. Well, I am looking at something I didn't even know I had. It's called Bible Gateway.
Oh, yeah.
Dominic's going to be in the room, apparently. He's being kind of loud, but oh, well. He's a blessing, right?
Yes.
So what I did is I looked up just the word idols in there. And first of all, we know that God does not want us to make like physical idols.
Mm-hmm.
So the verse is Deuteronomy 32:21. They have made me jealous with what is no God. They have provoked me to anger and their idols. So I will make them jealous for those who are no people. I will provoke them to anger with a foolish nation. So when we take it in context, that's cool. They have a little button where you can hit where it goes in context. Mm-hmm. And then you can look. And it says the passage that it comes through, resources, Hebrew and Greek, where you can learn about the words to love in the New Testament, usually the active love of God to his son and his people. That is so cool. Mm-hmm. We are learning about this right as we talk to you. And then you can have your notes right there. So you go back to the passage and it says, And he said, I will hide my face from them. I will see what their end will be. For they are a perverse generation, children in whom is no faithfulness. They have made me jealous. So that's where it goes into that. And then after that, this part right here, right? For a fire is kindled in my anger, and it burns to the depths of Sheol, devours the earth and its increase and sets on fire the foundations of the mountains. Yeah, our God is a jealous God and he deserves to be.
Yeah, I know. He's like the only one who can be jealous.
Yeah, because he's the only one that is greater.
Yeah.
Like we're not greater than each other. Like he is. He is our maker.
Yeah, and it's a different kind of jealousy, though, than what we have.
It's righteous.
Yes, because when it says he is jealous for me, it's because he does not want anyone else to come between us,
mm-hmm.
anyone or anything.
Yeah. Yeah, his jealousy is for our good.
Mm-hmm.
Because if we are putting idols in front of him, what's going to happen to us?
Mm-hmm.
We need him.
Right. And we start falling away from his path.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I mean, the farther away we get from that,
mm-hmm.
the harder it is to come back.
Yeah.
And I want to say it's not harder for God to allow us back. It's harder for us to not be ashamed and have guilt. Or to let our pride get in the way, it becomes more difficult for us to accept his forgiveness in a way.
Yeah, and we're not growing.
Mm-hmm.
We're not growing in him. We're not having the comfort from him. We're not everything that comes with knowing God as we pull away from him and put things in between him and us is not helpful.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not helpful because those are all the things that we need. That's our lifeblood.
Yeah. And so, like, just because these are my struggles from my past is why I think I use it as an example so much is, like, drinking.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how long did I put that before God?
Right.
Oh,
like,
for so long.
If I go to the church, then that means I'll have to stop partying. Like, I've actually thought
I'm not ready
to quit partying yet, so I'm going to party a little bit longer.
Because I don't want to go to church tomorrow.
Yeah.
And everybody knows.
Yeah, that too. But even still, even when God's calling you back, mm-hmm. you're like, I'm going to wait a little bit longer because there's a little bit more fun to be had.
Yeah.
But really, it was never fun afterwards. Like, mm-hmm. you might have had fun while it was happening, but then, like, the next day, you're like, oh, no, what'd I do?
Yeah, always regret.
Yeah.
Well, especially once I hit a certain point in my life, it was regret every time.
Yeah.
And I would say that to Mark, too, like, once we were together. I'd be like, I wish I wouldn't have done that.
Yeah.
Like, every time when we'd go enjoy ourselves, I'll say, mm-hmm. and think that we're, like, just having, like, living the best life.
Mm-hmm.
Then I would be like, the next day, ugh. I feel so wrong. And I would say, man, God is not happy with me.
No, and you can feel it. Even when you don't know that's what it is. It's mm-hmm. almost like, especially after you're saved and you fall away.
Mm-hmm.
you can feel the, what is the word? You can feel the displeasing.
Yeah, like you feel guilt.
Yeah.
You think and shame.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which God can take all of that away, which is amazing. Mm-hmm. I think he's released me from so much of that.
Mm-hmm.
And I still, like, go back to it sometimes.
I feel like that's the devil.
A little emotional. It is.
Because they want you, the devil wants you to live in that shame when it's already been paid for. And it's already washed away.
And I've already asked for the forgiveness for it. I've already repented
and turned away from it.
Yes. But I still sometimes go back to it.
Yeah.
Like, ugh. Like, why do I... And, you know, like, I think another thing, like, I talk about the drinking so much is because it led me to so many wrong decisions.
Yeah, there was a lot of sin in the drinking that had nothing to do with drinking. And I think that's why God wants us to be in control.
Yeah.
Is because when we are out of control, drinking mm-hmm. or whatever it is that gets you out of control... You commit all these other sins.
Yes.
Against your body, against God. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
And that's why I think, like, I'm not going to say nobody can have a drink, but once you're starting to feel the effects of it.
If you're feeling the feeling we're talking about, God's probably telling you no.
Don't do it anymore.
And that's, like we always say, that's between you and God. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to tell you. I can tell you what the Bible says. And God can tell you what you're feeling afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not here to judge. I'm not to judge what your circumstances are. That's for God. But what else can we use as idols, Christina?
Oh, I just think relationships with the opposite sex.
Yes. Yes.
I'm speaking particularly like before marriage in my mind. Yeah. I mean, it can happen.
The honeymoon stage kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And even that, like, are we going to, like, if we're not equally yoked, are we going to start following their path? Like, that's why it's so important to be equally yoked. Are they going to lead you from God?
And then that's hard, too, when you are not equally yoked and you're trying to encourage your spouse in another direction.
Yeah.
And then it sometimes can start fights.
Yeah. And are we trying to say that you don't try to encourage those who are not as equal to you? Yeah. You definitely do encourage them to come closer to God and hope that they grow.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, it's hard in a marriage because we're going to get them to grow. That's like becoming a nagging wife.
Yeah. Well, and sometimes, too, I let pride get in the way. And sometimes when Mark calls me out on stuff, I'm like, whatever. I know better. And he's like, trying to guide me in the right direction. Yeah.
Which is exactly what we want.
Yes. And I'm just like, I'll do what I want. You know, like.
But that's in every marriage. I think even when it's not of godly, like, we struggle with that being corrected.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mommy, I need a nice toy.
You need what?
A nice toy.
Another toy?
Another toy?
A nice toy.
Another coin?
Yeah.
Well, there's coins right there, but I would appreciate it if you stopped slapping all the toys onto the ground like that. It's very loud. Go get a blanket and play with them on top of the blanket. So where were we?
So, yeah, and then the other thing I was thinking is before marriage, the relationships. And I know, like, I know I was searching for something, even though I had been saved.
Mm-hmm.
But I had fallen away, like, after high school, I would say. The falling away went slowly. Yeah. Like, from, okay, I was going to church every Sunday.
Yeah.
Doing Bible studies with friends and stuff like that to introducing alcohol into my life, right? And then from there, which we were just talking something about that, how you have the one thing. Okay, the devil's like, all right, I'm going to get you to do this one thing that you never... I was very strong against it through school, like getting invited to parties in junior high or whatever. Yeah. Saying no.
Well, you watched me be a drug addict, too, in your high school. But this
was in junior high, though. I mean, I was starting to get invited. It was before you were even
okay
there, you know?
Yeah.
And But I just really knew it wasn't pleasing to God, and that's what I always thought about. Mm-hmm. So, yes, you helped me as I got older, but also the main thing really was God.
Right.
And so, even though I wasn't going to church and stuff at that time, I think just really because I couldn't get there. You know what I'm saying?
We, for a while, had to go by ourselves because mom and dad had fell away.
Yeah.
And we say that in a way that sounds like judgmental to them.
But we've been there too.
We did it in adult life. I had my kids at home not going.
Yeah.
So and mom and dad were the ones taking them for a while. So
yeah. So we it's not blaming them. Each sin that we have is our own fault. Yeah. Not to say that we can't steer each other in the wrong direction.
Because we definitely can. And it did affect us, just like it affected my kids.
Yeah.
Not being in there. So, mom and dad, we're not talking about you in that way.
Love you.
Yeah. Because, seriously, like I've said before, this is the first time they live life, too. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you got to remember that about your parents. Just because they are your parents doesn't make them perfect. Mm-hmm. They're not. They're not. And you look at your life, how you've lived, and you think about things in relation to you and your kids, and you think, well, I was struggling right then. That's why I wasn't able to do this with my kid. And then you take that back to your childhood, and it's like, oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was struggling right then.
Yeah. I feel like we always repeat history. We just talked about that a little bit at community group. But yeah, so, like, I started with the one thing. And it really makes the devil happy, I feel. Yeah. Like, he's like, all right, I got her to do that. Now she's going to keep doing that.
Now
and next, I'm going to get her to have sex before marriage, something she never said she would do.
Yeah.
Like, she said she always would stay away from.
Yeah.
And, you know, because I made that promise to God. Mm-hmm. And then, gosh,
it's just snowballs.
It's like a rabbit hole.
Well, and not only that is once he has his foothold in you and you don't have that support, like I'm saying, when you put that cut off between you and God, you're losing his jealousy is not only because he deserves to be worshipped, but that's your lifeline that is getting cut off.
Yeah.
Sin is cutting you off from that. Not that God has left you. Mm-hmm. It's you've turned your back on him.
Yeah.
And so when the devil is got that foothold in you and he starts talking to you, and it's easier to talk in your ear when you don't have that support from God that you've turned away from.
Yeah. And then, you know, typically, I mean, I'm sure there were other Christians in the bar or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
But you're around probably people who aren't Christians more. Mm-hmm. And then you're starting to relate to them.
Yeah.
And then we act as each other do.
Yeah. It's
so
the truth.
It's hard.
I went, after I had left my ex-husband, I hadn't had relations for 2 years with a man.
Mm-hmm.
And I was fine until I started drinking.
Yeah.
And that's all it takes.
And really, that's what I keep wanting to say to the kids.
Yeah.
Is don't start
it's so
that.
It's so simple.
Don't start it. Like, well, that's such a gateway.
It is.
To all sin.
It's just a very easy path to fall.
Yeah. And I mean, for anyone, even if you're not a Christian, if you want to think about it scientifically, okay, which is not our goal on this podcast, but you know that. It impairs your thinking.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a proven fact. So if you want to have control in your life, which I urge you to get that control from God. But if you want to have that control in your life, don't start drinking.
Yeah. Yeah. We're just speaking from a place of knowing, like I've said before.
Yeah.
We're not judging you if you do choose to drink.
No. I'm saying I've been there and that's a huge struggle for me.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm with you. And if you want to talk about it, I'm here.
And if you drink, I don't think less of you. Like, yeah. I don't. Hi, Dom. He's like.
I will say, so, because, like, I don't want to have a drink at all. I've had someone say, will you taste this wine? I made this wine. You want to taste it? And I'm like, no. Like, just a sip. Okay, so I did take literally a sip. Because I'm like, I won't even take a drink of this. I'm like, oh yeah, that does taste good. Like,
and then it starts that thing in your mind. Like, that did taste good.
Yeah, but I was like, no, I'm not doing that. So I feel like I have learned some self-control, but I'm not going to start drinking again. So, and that's why if I ever get the urge to drink, I don't do it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, if you can feel the temptation.
Right, because I think the temptation's there for a reason, right?
Yeah.
Because Satan wants me to indulge in it.
Mm-hmm. It's just a place where Satan can get a foothold on you so easily. That's the whole point.
Mm-hmm.
And other things, like, that are idols, you know, are television.
Yes, that's a big thing.
Is TV bad? No. No, mm-hmm. It's not. But say you haven't been in the Word, I do this, and you are like, but I want to watch my show. And then we're putting the show before God. Anything can be a sin. Anything you're putting before God can be a sin, but not be for others, or not be for you at another point in your life, or not be for you every day.
Mm-hmm. I feel like, too, the time I get my best Bible reading in at this point in my life is mm-hmm. at night after everybody goes to bed.
Yeah.
And what do I do? I'm going to watch this show.
Or I'm going to scroll through these videos on TikTok or whatever. Yeah.
So I really struggle with that. All right. This is my me time. My me time. How selfish. And I'm thinking of this right now. So I say, in our prayer I prayed about this. Teach us something.
She wanted to learn something today and be convicted of something. She didn't say convicted, but in my head I said, she's going to be convicted of something.
So, and I already feel convicted about television at night. I just need to say after
Mommy, are you done?
Everybody goes to bed, no TV.
Yeah.
But yes, so that's it. So it's not like a new conviction, but just the way I said, that's my me time.
Mm-hmm.
God convicted me there all over again. Because it's not my me time. It's my God time, right?
Yeah. Especially if that's the time you set up to be your God time.
I made it.
Now, there is something to be said about, you know, being able to let your mind just not think for a little bit because it's so busy.
Mm-hmm.
But, and sometimes I really watch TV or listen to something and just doomsday scroll through things. But on the times when I feel that same way and I open the Word, so much more refreshment comes.
Yes. I feel like you can get rest in reading. Okay, so.
And not in other things, only the Bible. Like, I feel maybe some people do that.
Yes, in the Bible. That's what I mean. Because I've been thinking, it's funny you say that, because I've been thinking a lot about that lately. I think it's a way that my temptation is coming in with it.
Uh-huh.
Is, okay, especially when I've been fasting before, mm-hmm. right? So you're fasting and you're really in the Word a ton. You're praying a ton. Mm-hmm. Literally, like, sometimes, so I would usually skip at least a meal or something and mm-hmm. focus that time on reading the Bible.
Because that's what fasting should be. It shouldn't be just where you're not eating as much. It should be you're replacing physical meals with the Word of God. Right.
Like, I wasn't doing it for weight loss, but I did lose a little weight.
Yay.
But I think I gained it all back now. But now, after I'm not doing that in this moment,
mm-hmm.
I find myself saying, and this is an excuse for being allowed to watch TV, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is, okay, you need to take a little mental break from everything you've learned mm-hmm. so you can really stew it out in your mind and learn from it, right?
Yeah.
So you can take a break from reading the Bible right now.
Yeah, which and is
then,
not true.
And then I'm going and watching TV at night instead of reading it.
Yeah.
Yes, I do think you do need to be still and quiet and, you know, meditate on what God has said to you. But that doesn't mean go do the thing that you're idolizing.
Yeah. Well, and still and quiet is not in the noise.
Right.
It's in prayer.
Right. But I think that's a way that my temptation mm-hmm. is being introduced sometimes.
And TV is not, Like, you can totally watch TV every single day, every single night as a mm-hmm. person. But you just got to remember that you have to devote time to God every day.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. what we're saying is not the TV is evil. Well, some things on it definitely are. But we're saying that you cannot put it in front of God.
Yeah. Okay. And even so, like, I was binge watching The Chosen a while back, right? Yeah, and it was time with God, and I find myself worshiping during it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And praising God for things.
Yeah.
But I also wasn't getting rest because I'm staying up till what time?
Watching it.
Yes.
Which there's I feel also like, that, too. I feel like that's good, too, though, is that's a good thing, is to the things we are watching to be wholesome or to point back to God or not, at least not to be focused on sin.
Right.
And get our mind in that, because I was watching some things and then it kept going more and more into sin. I'm like, okay, but that's just the backstory. If I just keep in the front story in my mind and then mm-hmm. the backstory comes to the front and I'm like, what am I doing?
Then you have to shut it off.
I'm shutting this off and I'm going to erase it for my continue watching. And then I just keep doing that. And I find myself being like sympathetic with their sin, which is good, but not.
Right.
Because you cannot condone it.
Yeah. And it's not a real life situation either where you're like, okay, I'm here to encourage you and help you. You're watching a TV show.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah. So, man, we're just letting all our sins fly out today.
Hey, we're not perfect. We are not. Like I said, we're not judging you. If you feel convicted by the words we're saying, then you were right here with you.
Okay. Thank God for it. It wasn't us.
Yeah. Well, think about it, though, is if you're feeling convicted or angry at us because of something we said, we're just telling you how God made us feel.
Yeah.
And so I'm just saying maybe you're being convicted, too. I don't know. But we're not here to judge you. We don't. Because look, we have enough things that we're struggling with. We don't need to be judging you.
Yeah. And I literally am learning things right now. As I like God I love speaks that. Through us sometimes.
He's always convicting us in our podcast.
As I'm saying the words, it's actually God speaking to me sometimes. It's really weird, actually.
Well, we ask for the Holy Spirit's words to come out of our mouths and not our words. So it's like, oh.
Yeah. Ugh.
Yeah. So
he's telling me some things right now about my television watching.
Yeah.
Am I being idle?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's another thing is like sleep. Mm-hmm. Okay. So the sleep isn't the bad thing because I need the rest to be able to focus and do things like this and to be able to focus when I'm reading the Bible. But I'm staying up. Like last night, I was like, oh, I'm going to watch The Baxters, which is Karen Kingsbury. Series.
I don't know what that is.
Okay. So she's an author and it's the one too at Winter Jam where they're talking about that movie, Someone Like You.
Okay.
And they're,
so it's like a Christian based thing.
She's a Christian author.
Okay.
And so her stuff might not be like, always
biblical.
It might not always be biblical, but it's always clean.
Yeah.
Because she's a Christian. But The Baxters is based on a family of faith and then all the struggles like this that they go through.
I feel like sometimes those things speak to us though. Yeah. But it's not the bread.
But this is a Christian show, but it also has sketchy stuff in it. It doesn't ever go too far, like in showing you things and stuff like that. But it's showing real struggles that people have.
Mm-hmm.
And I like at the beginning of every episode, she has a Bible verse that kind of goes with the show.
That's cool.
Yeah. So
it makes me want to watch it now. It's good to have those things to replace the things that we were trying to watch to get entertainment.
But I went and laid down and I'm like, I really need to lay down. And after I was doing devotionals, because I'm like, oh, my word, I didn't do my devotional today, like for the kids.
And then you feel rushed through it.
I didn't rush through it, but then I still stayed up really late. So, like, then I went and laid down, and then I got on my phone and turned on Prime Video and then started watching The Baxters. And then I'm like, oh, I want to watch one more episode. I thought there was only one season out, but there's three. And so then once it got to season two at that point.
You went through one
season? No. Oh. Not all at once. Only like.
Just picking on you as a sister.
Maybe like three times of watching it. But then I'm like, oh, I'll just watch episode one of season two then. And then I'm like, gosh, it's 4 a.m. Let's go to bed. Mark's probably over there like, you're being loud. But I turned on the subtitles and then our closed
captioning. So you're getting your reading in?
Yeah. And so I turned on those and then turned the volume to like 1 so I can still hear them but not wake up Mark, and I can read it when I'm like moving around and I can't.
Whatever you got to tell yourself. No, I'm just kidding.
But anyway, so my point is that even when you're doing something that's not bad, it's still like I need to be getting that rest so I can wake up in the morning, be a productive mom.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, because Mark's at work, and I not being home, not working, and being idle. Like, yeah. I need to be, you know, cleaning my household, working at home, helping Riley with school, and doing this podcast, not coming tired and stressed.
Yeah. And like, you know what? This podcast, actually, I actually spend a lot of time on because I edit it. And this podcast, too, can be that, like, put, even though I'm doing it for God and for all the people to hear, and I keep up late at night and then I'm sleeping, you know. So luckily this week I'm like, okay, God, I really need to get back into a good rhythm to where I'm getting the podcast edited and I can go to bed and not be like that, you know what I mean? Like, not be there for my family and stuff the next day. And my house is a wreck because, like, I've been working on this all the whole time. But right now it's because I'm at a softball field all the time.
Yeah.
But, you know, and that's another thing. We can't put those things in front of. But anyway, so, you know, sometimes this podcast is that for me. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't have time to read the Word of God because I'm doing this task for God.
Mm-hmm.
That can be an idol, too, even though I'm not thinking of it in that way. But we just can't. I'm not thinking of it in a worship way, but more of a, if I'm given that time to God or to the, see, I'm still giving it to God, but if I'm given this time to this podcast that, and I'm not also in the Word, then what am I telling people?
Yeah. And you know what I found too? I'm talking about fasting again, and I feel like maybe I'm supposed to say this. Maybe somebody out there needs to be fasting and prayer and stuff. Right now, I don't know. So I guess I just feel like I'm supposed to say it because, like what Melissa was just saying about, yeah, she's doing something for God, but not maybe reading the Bible as much as she should. So when I fast, then I find that I have so much more time in my day than I ever realized.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and I could sit there and read the Bible for hours. And I still could clean the house, spend time with the kids. They see you doing it, too, which is super important. Just sitting at the kitchen table and still being present, not sitting on the couch and falling asleep because I stayed up too late.
Before
and honestly, I did go to bed earlier.
Yeah.
I think because I just felt...
Because when you read the Bible like that, you get filled and you're not looking for the fulfillment other places.
Yeah.
That's what I was trying to say earlier. Like, even when you feel like your mind just needs to numb out, you can get that from the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
It just doesn't seem like you would.
Yeah. And not just reading the Bible, but actually truly studying it.
Yeah.
And writing things down and just really looking up definitions and digging in and understanding it more.
And, you know, even if you're not to that point and maybe you're just had one of those days where it's not something that you're able to dig into that day for whatever reason, just read it and let God speak to you. Because, like we were saying before, if you read it the first time, and then when you go back, maybe you will dig into it. And that first time helped you just be able to, like, okay, I know this story. So now when I read it again, I'm not focusing on just trying to get through the story. Yeah. I can actually see the details.
Yeah. And I mean, like, the fasting, it's you putting God first is mm-hmm. what it is.
Over food and everything.
And everything.
When you need
and,
food.
And whatever you're fasting away from. Maybe it's not food. Maybe you're feeling convicted about television, which I did fast from that for the most part, except for watching The Chosen. I just feel like what's important is that you're giving up the thing that's between you and God. You're giving up that idol. There's a verse I wanted to share mm-hmm. because it kind of makes me think of another idol mm-hmm. that a lot of us have in our lives. It's Luke 12, verses 18 to 21. It says, "Then he said, 'I know, I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones. Then I'll have room enough to store all my wheat and other goods. And I'll sit back and say to myself, my friend, you have enough stored away for years to come. Now take it easy, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, you will die this very night. Then who will get everything you worked for?' Yes, a person is a fool to store up earthly wealth, but not have a rich relationship with God." Ugh.
Yeah.
That stood out to me as soon as I saw it.
And as we've been getting closer to God, like I had said before in previous podcasts, I feel like I am more successful. Like, secular people wouldn't see me being home. And some of them don't even care about this podcast. Like, you mm-hmm. think some secular people see that as, oh, that's neat. You know what I mean? But some don't. And they are like, okay, so now you live on, you know, minimum type of money and you are at home just taking care of your family and stuff. And you are not successful. Mm-hmm. But I feel more successful now mm-hmm. because of my walk. My walk is what's successful.
It's meaningful.
Yeah. Too. And yeah. Look at all the works I'm doing that I didn't do before. Mm-hmm. Like, and it's not that it's about works, but when we're talking about success and not our soul.
Yeah.
When I'm talking about what is my success in life as a servant of God.
Yeah.
I'm way more successful now.
And our works show other people God,
yeah,
too.
Yeah. And it gets God to other people. You can teach others about Jesus. You're bringing in that to them, like mm-hmm. this podcast, hopefully, we'll be doing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. But these verses in Luke 12 really spoke to me. And I may have mentioned it on our podcast before, but like Mark and I just really felt like we had to add on to our house.
Mm-hmm.
And first we were looking for a different house to buy,
yeah,
you know, that had more room. And then we didn't find exactly what was perfect for us. So we added on to ours. Maybe God was saying, you're not finding the perfect thing because you should just leave it how it is, right? And instead, now later on, we're going, this house is too big. Just a few years later.
Yeah.
You know?
But I still think you're using it to its brim, though, like as in, like, all the kids, but they used to share rooms, but here's and now the they thing. Don't.
Our kids refuse to share rooms now.
Yeah.
And there's this thing in that I think we taught them to be more materialistic.
Mm.
And I've been thinking about that a lot. And now, I mean, that also shows an entitlement.
Yeah.
Right? So, like, well, instead of us being the parents in charge, they're the kids in charge, right? Mm-hmm. So they're like, I'm not sharing a room. Well, what if I need you to share a room? Well, what if do move to this 3-bedroom house?
Yeah.
And you're going to have to.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. So it's like, all right, who's the parent here? What did we teach them? Okay, yeah, we're not going to make you share a room.
Well, you can remember that you are the parent and you can just deal with the temper tantrums, you know?
Yeah.
So, it's just hard. It's hard. It makes it hard.
And then I think it's harder, too, to turn it around because I've already given them that thought.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm trying to focus more on saying, okay, what would God want from you to my kids?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not doing the best at that. So I think that's just where I'm needing to work toward now. But yeah. So, and then the other thing is in this verse, this guy wanted more room to store his things that he has piled up for years to come, right?
Yeah.
well, we needed more room to store more kids. That's a bad way to put it, but you get what I'm like, just to relate them. But also, I mean, think of it financially too, is, we're living paycheck to paycheck, but I am doing more things for God.
Mm-hmm.
I know it stresses Mark out a lot that we don't have more money.
But maybe God's, and I'm sorry if I'm Mark, maybe God is teaching him in that.
Yeah.
Because he'll provide.
And I'm going to tell you what, he does keep providing.
He does.
And Mark's income has risen.
Yeah.
And no, we're not living great.
But it rises as the need comes.
We're still living roughly.
Because you have said, I don't know what we're going to do a few times to me. And mm-hmm. then you turned right back around days later and said, oh, Mark got a raise.
Yeah. And this is like not really public information, right? But he's gotten 3 raises in like a year.
Which he shouldn't have. Not normally.
No.
Right.
No.
Yeah. He's providing.
So every time, and I think Mark goes, oh, this is the weirdest thing. And then the one time he's like, why did I get this raise? It makes 0 sense.
Yeah.
Like,
because it's God thing. Like,
yes. Corporations don't just call their employee and say, hey, I'm going to give you this good raise, like a good raise. Yeah. I'm going to give you this raise because we decided to check out the cost of living. They don't have to do that.
Yeah.
It wasn't time for the yearly thing.
Yeah, there's a time for that. For corporations, yeah, especially.
Which he just had that, the yearly one. It was odd.
Mm-hmm.
So they did a cost of living thing. And I said, did they do that for other people too? He's like, oh, no. You know?
Yeah.
So it's like God's always providing and we just need to learn to release things to him.
And as soon as we do, how many times do we see that he will release it or he will give us the answers or mm-hmm. release the answer when we release the control?
Yeah. And I think Mark every time is thinking like, and he has said, man, God provides, you know?
Yeah.
Because
I think it's harder for men in general.
Yeah.
And not always, but like just because they are made to be the provider.
Yeah. And it's hard for him too, because I'm the one not working.
Yeah.
It's going to be hard for him not to say, hey, I need you to go get a job.
Mm-hmm.
Or, okay, I'm going to rely on this income. Instead of,
and they feel stressed
I have
out,
to like, go do some more jobs. I need to do some side work for people, you know, stuff like that. So it's really hard.
Yeah. And what does the outside world look at us like? Yeah. Oh, why wouldn't you just go get a job? Like kind of stuff, you know?
Ugh. I've tried, guys. Every time God's like, quit it.
Yeah.
And I keep doing it. So
we need to leave control out. Get all those things that are getting in the way of us getting closer to God. When you're talking about fasting and you're replacing that food with the word of God, Jesus also said that when his disciples came to him and said, hey, you haven't eaten. He said, but then he said, so this would be Matthew 4:4. But he answered, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. So we got to remember that God's word does fill us,
mm-hmm.
fills us with what we need more than food, even though that's like our need.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible and the word of God is also a need that we don't realize we need.
Yeah.
So.
And so that makes me think of when I was in the hospital. I made sure, like, I need to have my Bible with me and stuff. And I wasn't in the Word like I should have been, you mm-hmm. know, around. But I think that God really used those 2 weeks of mm-hmm. me just being in a hospital bed.
Yeah.
So, you know, up for prayer especially.
Yeah.
And then just trying to read the Bible while I'm there.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I don't even know. It still sticks out to me because I'm like, God, what? Like, like, literally, God, what?
Yeah.
And, because a nurse came in and there was a lady in the room beside mine that was really struggling.
Yeah.
And the nurse came in the one day and goes, I know you've been praying for her.
Aww.
She goes, because like something's changed. Like she is.
And when people can see that and she saw your Bible sitting there.
But the thing is I keep going, what did I pray? And I did pray for her, but now my mind goes, did I pray for her before that or after or after the nurse came in and talked to me. But I, because like now everything from that hospital stay is just so like not fresh.
Like just
it's blurred. Messed up. And it was kind of like a trauma time too.
Yeah.
But yeah, it is very blurred. But
when you were hearing her, even if you weren't, like we've talked about before, your prayers don't have to be like, God, close my eyes and bow my head. You know, if you were just like, oh, what's wrong with her, God?
Yeah. That's and there prayer. Was a struggle. And I know her daughter that was there visiting her a lot was struggling too.
But for her to see that Bible set in there and just know from the way you're speaking
which
that
you're a godly woman. She was a Christian too. That nurse was. So, yeah. But she was just like amazed and like the woman just had this turnaround, like a relief or a calming that she didn't have the whole time she was there. She was pretty loud.
Mm-hmm.
So it was hard not to notice her.
And think about her. And
yeah.
Yeah.
But that's so amazing. God works in awesome ways.
He does.
But yeah, I really like definitely grew a closer relationship with him there.
Yeah.
And then like having Trey come and pray for me and stuff. Yeah.
God uses our struggles to get him closer or get us closer to him. And not only does he use struggles to teach us things, but sometimes the things we go through. If we didn't go through those things, would we ever seek him?
Right.
In the same way?
No. I mean, I don't know that we'd really seek him at all.
Well, like,
really,
we were talking about in our Bible study this weekend. Somebody had said, like, if we were all born perfect, like, how would that be? I said, but if we were born perfect, we would never seek God.
Yeah.
Because we wouldn't need him in the same way.
Right.
Like, I'm quoting when I say need.
Yeah.
You guys can't see that, but yeah.
Yeah.
But so it's really important to keep that lifeline that we have with God open. And when we're putting idols in the way of him, it doesn't have to be like a physical thing.
Yeah.
It can be a relationship, anything. Like, that's going to interfere with our walk, our well-being, our comfort. We're going to fall farther because we don't have his support. And it's just a slippery slope, and anything can be an idol. Even our kids' functions.
Yeah.
Like softball games. Like, are we putting these things before God?
Right.
I'm not saying that you can't go to the softball game instead of the benefit, but ask God. Ask God, what do you want from me, God? Is this what you want? Or is it okay that I go? And when he answers, you need to obediently follow.
Yeah. And too, like, okay, maybe God does want you there. Maybe you're supposed to be being a light to someone. And I tell you what, I just had conviction at Riley's game yesterday. Like, I was going to text her coach and apologize to her for something. If someone else is listening, they know that I've struggled with this in the past. So I actually went to her coach and apologized for something.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I'm just hoping, because she knows I'm a Christian, like that me being obedient to God and doing that, because it was a debate on whether I should apologize or not. I think if you ever feel like you're supposed to apologize, just do it, because you probably are supposed to.
Yeah.
Can't hurt.
No. I mean, yeah. As long as you... Yeah.
But just our behavior and how we put ourselves, and just showing people too that aren't Christians, even like, oh, she made a mistake and she came to me and said sorry. She does. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And that's the thing is when they look at us and we're pretending like we're perfect, but they see that we're not, but we're still pretending like we're perfect, they're going to see us as hypocrites instead of seeing us as people who are just going through life the same as they are. And trusting in God, and they see that difference in us when we do those things, like apologize.
Yeah.
Or be like, that wasn't right of me, or I'm not going to do this certain activity because I just don't feel like that's going to lead me onto a good path.
Yeah.
But not in a judgmental way. They'll see that from us.
Right.
And it's like, important to be vulnerable with them.
We're all the same. The difference is that I have Christ.
That's it. It's a big difference.
Mm-hmm.
And not saying that makes me better than you. that just makes me alive.
Right?
In the way that if you're not Christian, you might not understand, because sin leads to one thing, it's death.
Yeah.
And when we accept Christ in our hearts, that's when we become alive.
Yeah.
Because now we do not have to die.
Yeah.
And our souls are kind of dead already as well. Mm-hmm. And when we accept Christ, that comes alive.
Yeah. Through the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you, God.
Yeah. We do. You want to pray for us?
Yes. Dear Lord, thank you for just this message that you spoke today through us and just giving us the words to say.
Yes.
And thank you for giving us convictions too and just teaching us things as we even asked for today, mm-hmm. right before we recorded. And just help us to always continue to speak your life into other people and to show them love in all ways. And also, Lord, to just, like we were just talking about, to show them we're not perfect and we don't claim to be. And just be with those young people and really just all of us to stay in the Word and to pray to you always throughout our days. Not on schedule, Lord, but as you call to us or we need you, which we always do. And just help us not to lose that line of communication, Lord, because that's when temptation really sets in. And you said, Jesus said to his disciples to pray, to resist temptation. And Lord, there's a reason that those verses are in the Bible.
Yes.
So just teach us to continuously do that and to always put you first. Continue to guide us. And Lord, just help us to tell the devil to get away.
Yes.
And I pray for each person listening and those that aren't, Lord, just be with them, mm-hmm. and give them the guidance. Call out to each of them, Lord, if they're not a Christian, and just have them feel such an urgency to answer your call.
Mm-hmm.
And we thank you, Lord, for being you and being so great and just loving us so much when we don't deserve it. Thank you for sending your son to die on the cross so we can live with you for eternity. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. You've been listening to Christians in the Gritty.
I'm Christina.
And Melissa. Talk to you next week.